time of
my life. No, I never felt like this before.
Wait.
Yes, I swear, it's the truth.
And I hope it all to you.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There are thousands of ways into the complex healthcare system.
Yes, I'm right.
And United Healthcare has ways to make the system simpler, like virtual doctor visits.
What happened here?
I came in too hot.
All right. Well, good morning. It is so wonderful to be with you here this morning to talk about what it really looks like to be a healthy, missional church, to dig in to what it actually means not just to do church, but be the church. Amen?
Amen.
So I know that that video is ridiculous, and I start with it because I wanted to give you a little insight into me. Don't worry, I don't plan on doing any sort of crowd surfing this morning. But I am easily excitable, and for those who know me, we would consider me a pretty passionate individual. So sometimes I come in a little hot. This right here is my amazing husband, George. We live in Pasadena, California. He is the love of my life and my partner in mission. And it is our joy that we get to serve Jesus together every day. He's actually been with a group of crazy eighth graders traveling from California all the way to the southeastern part of the country to learn more about the civil rights movement and the Civil War and what God is doing in our country and throughout history. So as he is hopefully on an airplane recovering and coming back to this side of the country, I get to be here with you. And it is just amazing to me that on a day like today, when we are talking about our role in the love of Jesus pouring out upon the world and the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. And make no mistake, we have a very prominent role in this mission. Things are going to get mighty exciting this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I want to just give you a little insight into me, guys. I've had my fair share of joy and blessing in my life. I have two amazing parents that have been married for almost 50 years. And I have two pretty great brothers, I would say. And I've really just been surrounded by love and opportunity and support my entire life. But on the other side of that coin, I've had some really deep moments of tragedy. Tragedy that I don't understand. Tragedy that I didn't think I'd be able to overcome. But I knew I had Jesus in some of those darkest hours. And I literally could hear him say, "I got you." Anybody with me on that? And it has occurred to me, and this might sound ridiculous, but it has occurred to me recently that God is so smart. You know, we see time and time again in the Gospels that Jesus is being put into all of these crazy positions, you know? And he is so smart. And in today's text, you probably saw it on screen, we're in Matthew 22, and it's the Great Commandment passage. A lot of us are very familiar, right, with that passage. And the expert of the law tries to trick Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus says, "Love." You'll see that come up on the screen. Love your neighbor with all, or love the Lord your God. Is it up there? Ooh, we're going too fast now. You can go back to the love one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? And then Jesus one-upped the scripture in the Old Testament and said, "And love your neighbor as yourself." And see, I really have come to understand that Jesus knows the depths of our heartache and tragedy. He knows the sting and the darkness of sin is too unbearable for any individual. So, in his brilliance, he designs us. Isn't that amazing? He designs us and commands us to love, to actually step into one another's trials and burdens. And then, knowing we're in that, we step in, and then we carry those trials together, one another. And then we all know that he doesn't stop here, right? This is Jesus. He just gets going, right? And then in Matthew 28, we see him come back from the dead. Hello. And he says there, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And get this, he says, check it out in Matthew 28, it's coming up right here. After he says go, and that's the part we all know, right? The go, right here in the blue. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says, get this, I am teaching you to obey everything I've commanded. And he is dropping the mic right here. This is the great commandment, love. Now take that love to the ends of the earth and make disciples, and make disciples so that they can love. They can love God with all they've got. And they can love others just the same. So why would he tell us this? So when that heartache that we all know too well strikes, the tribe is ready. And then when the joy flows, the party is rocking. You notice, God is literally, Jesus is literally pointing out this singularity of the role of these commandments, that now everything hinges on this. This is what it means to be on mission. This is what it means to be on point, a healthy missional church. This is the crux, that we are not to just be in love with Jesus, but we are called to be love. Because scripture tells us, without it, we're nothing. So this on this next slide is one of my closest friends, Sarah. And this is a picture from college. And years post-college, Sarah called me up on the phone and she asked me to run a half marathon with her. And I said no. I was like, heck no. And I just laid it out for her. I have a bad back. I've been on bed rest multiple times, literally have like moved my feet just side to side to get down a hallway. And there was no way, no how, that I was running a half marathon with her. And then she broke it down for me. She had gotten engaged. She had been dating this guy for like 2 years. They moved in together. They were going to get married. And she found out that he was cheating on her. And her whole life was in shambles. And she said to me, Lindsay, I need a friend and I need a goal so I can get out of bed in the morning. And I choose you. So I said, yes. And guys, I literally, I went to the gym the next morning and I jogged. Like I walked actually. I walked 20 minutes. And then the following day I jogged. That's what happened. And then the third day, I actually tried to touch some machines and make it look like I knew what I was doing. You see, like I told you earlier, I've had some really deep moments of tragedy in my life. And my moment was when I found out that my now ex-husband, not the guy that I just showed you, he made sure that I clarified that. I'd come home years ago, and I found out that my life that I thought I was living that was normal was not at all what it was, and I was completely lost. And I don't know, you know, divorce might not be your thing, but I'm sure today some of you know that heart, that hurt and that heartache and that sorrow all too well. That life just can't bear it. So when I heard Sarah's voice on the phone, I knew I had to say yes. And months later, guys, I said yes to her, but months later, I was rounding the far side of the Rose Bowl on my longest 10-mile run all by myself because I was running for her. And I literally heard the Lord say to me, I am not done with you yet. And it was in that moment that my whole body seemed to be functioning the way it should be, that I realized that those miles weren't what mattered, but what God was doing in those miles that had changed my life. I was not the same person that I was when I said yes to Sarah. Something was different. And I had this larger capacity, and it begged the question, if I can do this, what else should I be doing? And, well, the fact that I'm standing here today must tell you that I got my answer. Never could I have imagined that my yes to Sarah would lead me here today. I knew that I was called to love her in that moment. You know when you have those moments and you know you got to do what you got to do. And the best way that I could love her was to literally struggle and suffer with her and run that race. And that choice changed my life. And it led me to a new heartbreak and a new call to run again. But this time it was to end the clean water crisis with World Vision. Now, I want to be clear, y'all. I didn't know anything about World Vision. I had no idea what sponsorship was, and I didn't actually care. I had no interest in that. I was just simply broken about the reality in which children live. Does that make sense? And guys, check this out. On this next slide, you're going to see this little girl, and she's carrying a jerry can, and she has a switch in her hand. And this is the reality of children in Africa. Over 660 people on this planet don't have clean water, and they walk on average by themselves, away from their hut, away from their home. Kids start at the age of 5 to get water that we wouldn't even wash our cars with. And this route is an average of nearly 4 miles a day. A lot of you guys conquered that yesterday so that little girls like this will never have to do it again. But notice, she's got that switch in her hand because animal attacks are pretty normal. Normal level of risk for them daily. But also that route is one of the top sources of human trafficking on the planet. And guys, if that isn't bad enough, you'll see on the next slide, this is the water that they're drinking. Guys, water that animals defecate in. This is toxic. And they're drinking it, they're cooking and cleaning, they're washing themselves with it. It's the number one preventable cause of death on the planet. And I know a lot of you guys know that more kids, more people on planet Earth die of lack of access to clean water or water-related illnesses than AIDS or malaria combined. That's what we're combating when we're out there in these jerseys. Unbelievable. And guys, yesterday, many of you, like I just said, entered that race, and you got a race bib with a kid on it. And you change their realities forever by providing them the gift of clean water and a safe place to go to the bathroom. You reached out and took on their life-threatening miles in the love of Jesus and have relieved them of that suffering forever. And guys, I don't know if you know much about race culture, but the thing that blows me away and blew me away yesterday is I watched person after person, whether they're walking or running or pushing a stroller, they all had these bibs on. And the thing about race culture is that they're usually just big old numbers across people's chests, you know, just a number. But this bib has a real child on it, Marcel, representing a real family. And when we think about poverty, I don't know about you, but I bet you're gonna get me on this one. When we think about poverty, we think about a problem, right? Poverty is a problem. But when God thinks about poverty, I'm starting to understand that he thinks about people, his children, who he created in his image, who he died for. We're not, you and I and these kids, we are not just a number. We are sons and daughters of the King whom he loves. Amen? Amen. So guys, I want you to take 30 seconds right now, like straight up Twitter version, you know what I mean? And I want you to talk to your neighbor. And I want you, the two of you, to try to define poverty. Now, don't worry. I'm not looking for right or wrong answers. You don't have to raise your hand and report in. Just 30 seconds, and I got a watch. I'm timing you. 30 seconds. How would you define poverty? Ready? Go. Fifteen seconds. 15 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boo. So you guys might know, but at World Vision, we really believe that poverty is rocket science. We really believe it's rocket science. It is complex, it is complicated, it is messy. And to solve complex, complicated, messy problems, or any problem really, I've realized that your solution to your problem is completely defined or based on your definition of the problem. Does that make sense? You figure out what the problem is, then you can figure out how to solve the problem. And as Christians, you'll see up here, and this is kind of crazy, that's why I put it up on a slide. We believe that the nature of poverty is fundamentally relational. Relational. But the cause of poverty is fundamentally spiritual. Now follow me on this. If you go back to the beginning, into Genesis, and you dig into that, right there, we see the separation of humanity and God. We see the separation of humanity within humanity, man versus man versus woman. We see the struggle and the tension of man within himself. We all know that way too well, don't we? And we also even see the separation between humanity and the ground and nature. We see this brokenness. Now, if our goal, and it is our goal as World Vision, just to be very clear, is to tackle the root causes of poverty. If that is our goal, and if the nature of poverty is fundamentally relational, then our solution, guys, can only happen through relationship. You following me? Money, we all know this, right? Money is helpful. Money can fix little things here and there. It can fix a lot of symptoms, but only the love of Jesus. That's why we're in this room right now. Only the love of Jesus, shared through relationship, can heal the brokenness of the world. That's a healthy missional church. And this is the crux of our faith on display for all to see. We see both the Great Commandment and the Great Commission are wrapped up into one thing. And this has really been messing with me about over the last year or so. I've realized the Great Commandment is amazing, right? But if we go out and love like Jesus has told us to without the truth of Jesus, our love is incomplete. It's lacking. And if we share the truth of Jesus to the ends of the earth without love, it's hollow. Jesus works in us and through us, through relationship. And I've never been so deeply struck by that truth than when I got to go to Africa and actually meet my sponsored child, Adairju. And you're gonna see him in a minute. Man, this dude is 10 years old. He's in fifth grade. He's top of his class. And he wants to be a doctor. And I actually got to go to his house and asked him what his favorite game was, and he got up and ran out of the hut. And I thought, ooh, this is not going well. But he came back with 6 rocks, and he showed me how he plays jacks. You know, we bounce a ball down, and it comes up, and you grab whatever's down there, you grab the jack. He throws a rock up, grabs a rock, catches the rock, and he's, like, schooling it. Like, I mean, he's showing me what's up. And then he hands me the rock, and it goes away over my head. Like, lame. So I actually wrote him on Friday, and I said that I was practicing. So next time I see him, we'll bring it, you know? But I got to go to his home. Check this out. And I got to meet his mother and shake her hand. Look at the smile on her face. And they told me all about how World Vision is coming alongside of their family. Agricultural training. They have a farm, a huge farm, let me tell you. And they're coming alongside with that agricultural training to help them with sanitation and hygiene training. And guys, Adairju walks 4 times a day for water that is not clean for his family of 7. But when I talked to his family, they said that they have hope and they know that the water's coming soon. So thank you for running, because these families need this water. But it's amazing to me because I'm seeing this new relationship bubble up. I mean, can you imagine that woman or you preparing your home for 12 Americans to wander in? What? You know? But if that's not enough, as I was shaking her hand, check this out. Boop, right there. Hit that slide. There's a foot behind her elbow. I was literally shaking her and shaking her hand and introducing myself, and I was like, whoa, like totally freaked out, probably inappropriate. I'm like, you had a baby. And she was like, yeah. And through our translator, Hadou, she found out just 2 months ago, she had this little girl. And they're doing really well, and everybody's pretty healthy. And I said, did you have her here, like at home? Because you guys might know, but World Health Organization, World Vision, other humanitarian organizations, we're working to eliminate home births because pregnancy is the number one killer of women on the planet. And when I asked that question, her smile just got bigger because she had that child, her fifth, her first of five, at a local maternity ward. She did not have that child. Amen. She did not have that child at home, but with a doctor in a sanitary location. And guys, a year prior to that picture, I got to stand in that maternity ward and celebrate 6 brand new beds for women who walk miles up to a month before they have their child so they can be there when it happens. They receive nutrition training and prenatal and postnatal care. And we got to celebrate clean water there and 2 brand new latrines. And that little girl was birthed there. And because she was birthed there, she has a birth certificate. She's a real person, recognized by her community. She could get on an airplane. She's the first in her family to have a real identity recognized by the world. And guys, I mean, I know that you guys probably know this, but it blew my mind to see that when World Vision comes alongside a community, it's so they can accomplish their goals. Their goals. We're helping them. And what that $39 a month does that you're giving to Ledia, some of you that sponsor already, that's going into like a citywide budget that helps create that community's plan so that they can have stable health care and education and food security and clean water. It is unbelievable. Even a stable economy and economic growth, we are working alongside of them holistically to help them become not just self-sufficient, but thriving. This is the transformational community development model. Guys, trying to solve one problem at a time, while it's noteworthy and awesome, it's never gonna solve the puzzle of poverty. But sponsoring a child is building a stronger, stable community for generations to come. Kids that aren't even alive right now are benefiting from the work that you're doing right now. And yesterday, when you put on these bibs, guys, you combated a problem. And today, I want to invite you into a relationship with this little person. Every one of you, and right next to you, near you, has a bib with a picture of a child on it. Can you grab that child and put them up in the air and wave them around so I know you got them? That's it, you got it. Wave them around. All right, now I want you to look at that bib, and I want you to check out the name and the age of that child. And then I want you to introduce that child to your neighbor. Can you do that real quickly? And now will you check out this video with my friend Ashley?
When I first saw her name, it was on her World Vision sponsorship folder, Beverly. I kept reading and found out that she was 12 years old. I learned she'd known true need for years, traveling far for water, putting herself in danger, and keeping her from school. I could have passed her name, forgotten about her, but something took a hold of me. Over the last year, that name, Beverly, has come to mean so much. I've learned that she's an amazing poet. She loves math and science, and she's becoming a leader in her school. Even better, My donation of $39 a month to World Vision is already hard at work bringing clean water to Bev and her community, allowing even more children to go to school. I'm also helping with things like basic health care, nutritious food, and protection from exploitation. Bev is now family, and it all started with a name. Which name will be the beginning of something beautiful in your life? Today, people like you are in churches around the world watching the same video. What if, together, we made today one of global action? What if you sponsored Rosemary and the person behind you sponsored Chansa? What if your whole role, your whole service sponsored a child? Imagine this across every church. What will be the name you pray for? Whose face will you put on your fridge? Which child will you write letters to with your family? Join us in this movement to show the love of God to children around the world. Sponsor a child today.
Friends, today you can begin a new relationship with a real person by filling out this little form and taking it back to your epic hut. You have a hut in your sanctuary right there. And you can pick up an awesome water bottle as a thank you, but more importantly, a packet that's going to tell you more about that child and their family and their life. And you can start writing letters to them and talking to them and sending pictures and having a relationship in the name of Jesus. And today, I mean, you can see, my husband and I actually have three sponsored children, one in Ethiopia and two in Kenya, and we're inviting Marcel into our family. I don't have one from Lydia, and I kind of feel like I get to join into your family, and together we can help bring the kingdom to earth a little bit more. And I gotta turn in my sheet as well. But guys, in closing, I told you, my parents are incredible. And when I was in high school, I used to run the 800, like a half mile, two laps around the track. And my parents were always there. Always there. It was incredible. My dad is in sales. So he literally would figure out on Wednesdays who he was going to go see so he could be at the track meet that I was running at. And on Tuesday nights, I'd always go up to his room and I'd pick out a red and black tie that he would wear because those were school colors. Because my dad always had my back, right? And he was always there supporting me, and he had faith in me, and he would show up to these meets in his red and black tie. People actually thought he was a school administrator. But he would show up, and I always knew he was there because I would hear this, "Run, Lindsay, run!" And I'm telling you, cross-country meets, I could hear him echo off the trees. And my mom would always go, but there was this huge meet right before the state tournament started, and it was at our home track, and it was a two-day invitational. And on Friday, I would qualify for the meet, and then Saturday, you'd run the final. And my dad was working, and he actually doesn't travel a lot, so it was really rare. But before he left, you know, we packed all his stuff. I picked out his tie, and he said, "I will do everything to be there by Saturday afternoon." You know, and Friday came and went, and Saturday came, and I was running up from the back of the track, the pits, up towards the start line, and it was awkwardly quiet. No run, Lindsay, run, no sight of Dad, and I knew he was with me. And I towed that line, and you hear runner set, and then the gun, and man, I was out and around that corner as fast as I could, and when I hit the back stretch, you're supposed to open up your stride, and in that moment, I could hear it. Run, Lindsay, run! And man, I'm telling you, from the soles of my feet to the top of my head, it was on. Like, I have goosebumps telling you about it right now because my father's faith in me meant the world to me. And I knew it in that moment that those girls were toast. No, like, arrogance aside, my dad had my back, and I flew around that track and crossed that finish line with my hands in the air and won that race. And they took my time, and they released me, and right off to the side, on the other side of the fence, was my brother, Brad. He is 18 months younger than me, and he's like going nuts, and he picks me up, and he spins me around. "You did it, you did it." He plops me down, and he has his hands on my shoulders, and we step back, and he said, "Did you hear Dad?" And I said, "Yeah, where's he at?" And he just stopped, and he shook his head, and it was him. He knew that the faith of my father fueled me. So he took that spot and told me to run because he believed that I could do it. And guys, today when you get to sponsor these kids, you get to take a spot in their life and tell them that they can do it. You get to tell them that they're loved and they're valued and they have dignity and that they are sons and daughters of a risen God who's put the power of God in them to change the world forever. Guys, that's the beauty of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission colliding, is because when we receive it, we get commissioned and we get to go. And these kids, they get to be hope in their communities because they are sons and daughters. So today, I want to invite you to sponsor one of these kids and take it back to that hut and get home. And as soon as you get your welcome email, you can email them back. You can send them letters. It is incredible. But I'm telling you that the Lord is doing incredible work in us and through us. And to be a healthy missional church means that we are on point. We are on the front lines. We are God's plan A on earth as it is in heaven. Can I pray for you? Lord God, I just can't believe that you have such faith in us. Jesus, that you literally took on the cross for us, but were kind enough before it happened to tell us, hey, the Spirit's gonna come and I've gotta go, but you can do even greater things than I have done. You always have had faith in us. And now you're telling us to go and us to love and us to encourage right here in our own community, but to the ends of the earth. We get to live by faith, God, because you've showed us how to do it. And you are letting us be part of relieving other people's suffering. That blows my mind. So God, make us bold. Attune our hearts and our minds to hear your voice. Open up our eyes to see the world as you see it. Break our hearts with what breaks yours. And empty us of all but love. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand for the benediction? I don't know how you guys do it, but at our church, we put our hands out to receive the Lord's blessing, so I invite you to do that. May the Lord open your eyes to see the world as he sees it. May he break all of our hearts with what breaks his, and may he empty us of all but love. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to take your sponsorship folders over to the Epic Hut and receive your child. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.